Well, I just last, just as you were finishing that prayer, I got a prayer on my heart, and I want to pray it. The scripture says, Lord, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying. And it's our desire this morning to hear what the Spirit is saying. And Lord, I just love what you've been speaking in this place. I love that your voice is being heard. I love the vibration of your voice. I love the essence and the substance of your voice. And I thank you, Lord, that you have been speaking and will continue to speak. Thank you, Lord. You know, this is so interesting. I have so many things I want to share, but I'm not going to get to them all. You'll be happy to hear that. I'm not going to get to them. But the promise is that all the ones I don't get to, I'm going to email out tomorrow, okay? Because I think they're worth noting, but there may be some overlap because I brought a pen and I'm going to actually take notes this morning, and I encourage you to as well. And so we're going to try to listen together to hear what the Spirit is saying. I had, this is quite, I mean, there's so many ways that I could approach this and so many ways that I could start. In the prayer room, we were praying that the atmosphere of heaven would just begin to come and press out anything that wasn't of the Lord, you know, and we live most of our lives, you know, kind of, unfortunately, we live a lot of our lives outside of that. So we're living out here. The presence of God is here. Like if you could just work with me a little bit here, the presence of God is here, but we often live outside of that. We choose to live outside of his presence. And, but what we were doing this morning was we were praying for his presence to so come and push out so that everybody would be able to hear what the Spirit is saying, because we desperately need to hear what the Spirit is saying. We more sermons, you know, I really struggled with this as our brother, you know, they like did mention last week, the struggle, and I'm going to start actually in a bit on something you mentioned, but Irvin, thank you for that word last week. But there's this is so interesting that we are in a battle. There is a real war going on, and sometimes we're not aware of it, and other times the Lord makes us aware of it. And I think being aware of it is very helpful, very helpful. I read a story about the ones in the Titanic and how most of them were totally unaware, even to the last minute. And then it was so downplayed what was going on, you know, almost to the last minute. So most people didn't know until almost the last minute that there weren't enough life rafts and the disaster was pending, you know, and they were asleep. Most of them were asleep. They were awakened. But we need to be aware and we need to be awake. We need to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So I've got a long title to this, and I titled it this because there were three things that happened this morning that just really confirmed and then have continued to confirm this word. And so the title of this message, or whatever you want to call this morning, because it's more than just what I'm going to share, is a banner, a dream, and a prophetic word, and being dressed in readiness. Let me say it one more time. A banner. We live under banners. You know, we sing that song, His banner over me is love. I mean, you live under a banner. You know, you might live under the one with, was it Linus? Who was the guy that, you know, or there was one of the Peanuts characters that just had that cloud follow them everywhere they went, you know, Pigpen, you know, but we all live under banners. We all live under banners. A dream. I got a call just driving in here this morning. A brother from a ways away called me and he had a dream. And I was in the dream, and as he told me the dream, I knew again, this is just confirmation, you know, like it just is amazing. And then a prophetic word, and the prophetic word is from an unlikely source. It's from Corey Ten Boom, who's not with us anymore, but it's a prophetic word from Corey Ten Boom, and Val gave me that. It just arrived in my inbox this morning. Again, just a banner, a dream, a prophetic word, and being dressed in readiness. You know, I feel like, sometimes I shake myself and I am so thankful. Like when I'm not, you know, fighting a great battle, you know, and maybe even in the midst of fighting a great battle, I just get this wave of gratefulness, you know, this wave of Lord, this is like it's like I'm being taken along on a ride. Anybody feel like that? Like in a way that we're not in control, you know, that there's something out of control here. And we're being taken along on this ride. So I had a dream the other night, and in this dream, I was coming down a mountain and I was on my bum. You know, I was, it was, it must have been winter time because like I was sliding nicely, but it was a high mountain and I was traveling at a high pace and I began to sing. And I began to sing about seeing the glory of God. And it was like, it was a beautiful dream. I love dreams. I don't dream a lot, but when I dream, I love them. And I told my brother this morning, I said, brother, that what your dream has some wonderful ingredients to it. I'm not a great dream interpreter, but I love ingredients and I can work with the ingredients. But as he brought the dream the second time and you know, to me this morning and just repeated it the second time, it became even clearer that this was like an end time word. It was an encouragement for living in these dark times, in these difficult times. And that was, that encouraged my heart. You know, oh my goodness. I woke up this morning to a banner. Like again, I opened my Bible and it was Psalm 111. And I won't, Psalm 111. You know, I woke up and I opened my Bible and it just, you know, and I don't do this often or it doesn't happen often, but it happened this morning. And so a banner, a dream, a prophetic word, and being dressed in readiness. And the banner for me is his love, and the banner of sonship, the banner that we are sons and daughters. It doesn't get any better than that. Of all the titles and all the awards and all the recognition and all the, you know, the degrees and everything you can put on your wall, there is nothing that compares with you being a son of God or a daughter of God. There is absolutely nothing that compares for that. And there is a striving throughout our entire lives, and the Spirit strives to bring home to us that we are his children, that we are children of God. There's a fight going on. This morning in the prayer room, again, we sang the song, The Roar, and it's like the Lion of Judah roars over us, and he roars over our destiny. He roars over us to actually clear out those other voices and those other things that press in to try to steal our identity. I like Bobby Connors. He likes to say that both heaven and hell are asking the same thing. They're saying, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? So I feel like we're along for the ride. Psalm 111. I'm going to read it because it gives glory to God. And that's what we're about. Eh? We want to give glory to God. We don't want to just gather as people. We want to gather in the presence of the Lord and honor him in every possible way, in every possible way. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. Make sure you read the scriptures slow enough that you get it. With all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for all his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Amen. To you, Lord, belongs eternal praise. This is Corrie Ten Boom's prophetic word. But just before I read that, you know, I want to get back to the battle for a minute. You know, people have verbalized this and shared, you know, I've heard it being shared with one another, you know, amongst us, you know, that there's a battle. And when I was walking the Camino many years ago, there was a saying on the Camino, and like they were quoting somebody, but it's the saying, be kind because everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. And I remember walking with this one guy, and he says, I'm battling demons. He told me, he said, I'm battling demons. And he's from Ireland. The interesting thing about the Camino is you start these conversations, and then sometimes it's like 2 weeks later, you're in a little town or a little village, or you're traveling outside and you run into the same person again. And this guy, because your paces are somewhat different, your stops are different and so forth. But we used to meet at different, you know, we met and, you know, Anyway, even at the end, I didn't get to see him at the end, but I met another guy, and he says, you know, so-and-so made it. You know, they made it to the end. You know, they made it, you know, and that was good because he was in a lot of pain. But this saying, be kind, because everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. But he had an interesting journey, and God met him and probably changed the course of his life by the decisions that he made. And by the repentance, and I'm going to talk about repentance in a minute, but by repenting of his sins, he made a critical decision that would have saved his marriage and possibly many other things, many other good repercussions. So I've told you about this cartoon. Years ago, I subscribed to this magazine for pastors, and in it, it was worth the price of admission just for the cartoons. And the cartoons were awesome. So there's this one with a pastor standing outside of his church, and there's the sign for the church. And in the just over here, you see a volcano. And the church is called Church by the Active Volcano. And so he's standing there, you know, outside his church, and he says to the person he's talking to, he says that it really puts a damper on long-term planning, but it adds a sense of urgency to my preaching. And I feel like in the spirit there is an urgency to the hour in which we're living. And I think we're talking to the choir here today, so I don't have to go into that in great detail to convince you that there is an urgency in the spirit to the time in which we're living. My dad was dying of cancer, and we got so close, my dad and I, he had left our home when I was 12 years old, and so I didn't have my dad around, you know. And so at 17, God became my father, and I have never. I feel really privileged because he told me one time. He says, "Chuck, I'm gonna." It felt in the spirit, in my spirit, I felt like the Lord say to me that he wanted to affirm me first. He wanted to be the first affirmer in my life. And then other people would come after that. So my dad, you know, it was a gift that those last 2 years we became like best friends and got to hang out for hours and hours together. It's like the Lord really restored something. He had to wear these compression socks. Eh? It took him forever to put these on, and he was too proud to let me help him, at least initially. So I was hours with him, and I just thought this is a gift. You know, I got to hang out with him and be in his apartment. He was, you know, getting dressed because we were going to go out to an appointment or something. But just those hours were a real gift. So I said to my dad one day, I said, "Dad, you know, do you want to go see a movie?" And my dad says something I'll always remember because it really speaks to this, to what we're talking about this morning. He says, "It better be a good one." You hear what he's saying? It better be a good one. And his days were definitely numbered. So I want to read to you from Luke chapter 12 And then I want to get, just remind me right after that to read Corey's prophetic word. Luke chapter 12. So starting in verse 35, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. So that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve." Okay, so I've told you before that I love the translation. It says, "Be dressed in readiness," the translation. So be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. So this is kind of where I want to park this morning and spend some time around this, being dressed in readiness and keeping our lamps burning, okay? It says that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. When I read that, I also thought of the scripture in Revelation 3, verse 20, where he says, "I stand at the door and knock, and anyone who opens the door to him, anyone who opens the door, he will come in." And the King James uses the word sup. They will sup with them. And it's actually a precious word because it means to eat or to fellowship. It's one of the most intimate things that you can do with another human being, is to share a meal together, to break bread together, to have that intimate community and communication time together. So this is the invitation that's offered to us. And so the scripture says, "Be dressed in readiness, keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return." Throughout the entire Bible, we find this concept, this idea, this throughout the Bible of the necessity of readiness. Readiness is key at so many levels and throughout the scripture, all the way to the end. You know, like it's important that we prepare ourselves and be ready. So here's Corey's prophetic word, Corey Tembu. Actually, just before I do, let's do another Corey. Let's get Corey's pictures up here. I want to tell you about Corey, and then I'll do Corey Tembu. Okay, this is Corey. So, yep. What's wrong? Yep. Yeah, you have some?
No. Just want to give credit to Dan Parks because it came from his Facebook.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. Good. So before I read Corey Tenboom's word, Val wanted to mention it came from Dan Parks' Facebook page. So thank you, Dan. this is Corey. Corey is in just outside of 20 miles outside of Fort McMurray. I want the other picture. Leave the other picture up for a second. The next picture. Got one more for. So Corey, okay, leave that one up for a minute because isn't that like he look at that dress. Yeah, he is dressed right there. And so Corey told me that it's so important what he's doing. Okay, let me back up and tell you this. So Corey went out west because 3 years ago, he wrote these exams that give him what they call tickets in order to work in these trades, you know, in gas. This is supposed to be the largest gas plant in Canada that he's working in. So these tickets give him that opportunity. And he wanted to go out. He wrote 10 exams, passed them all, got 10, all these tickets, which enable him then to work in these large plants. But he told me, he said, I asked him, I said, are you able to, I knew the answer before I asked it, but I asked him anyway, are you able to listen to worship music, you know, because you know, Corey and worship music, right? So, but, and he gave me the answer, which I suspected. He said, no, I'll lose my job in a second. But he said, he has to be alert all the time. He has to be alert all the time because of these gases. There are some of these gases, they're not detectable you can't detect them by smelling them. You have to be monitoring, you know, whatever, you know, I can't tell you all that. And also he said you could easily fall from, look at the little clips he's got around him there. You could easily fall from 200 feet, you know, if you're not paying attention and you're not, you know, just alert. So I thought I'd throw that up just for us to tell you what Corey's up to. I'm hoping he's going to come home soon. He's got, I think it's 7 weeks. And I think they've just extended it a little longer. And, but I used to always say, until he went out west, I used to say if I was a young man, I would have my pick of jobs because they're really, if anybody wants to work these days, there are jobs to be had. Okay, here's Corey's word. Corey Tenboom. Corey Tenboom, thank you. In China, the Christians told me, don't worry, before the tribulation comes, you will be translated, raptured. Then came the terrible persecution. Millions of Christians were tortured to death. Later, I heard a bishop from China say, sadly, we have failed. We should have made the people strong for persecution rather than telling them Jesus would come first. Tell the people how to become strong in times of persecution, how to stand when the tribulation comes, to stand and not to faint. I feel I have a divine mandate to go and tell the people of this world that it is possible to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in training for tribulation, but more than 60% of the body of Christ across the world has already entered into tribulation. There is no way to escape it. We are next. Since I have already gone through prison for Jesus' sake, and since I met the bishop in China, now every time I read a good Bible text, I think, hey, I can use that in the time of tribulation. Then I write it down and I learn it by heart. When I was in the concentration camp, a camp where only 20% of the women came out alive, we tried to cheer each other up by saying nothing could be any worse than today. But we would find the next day was even worse. During this time, a Bible verse that I had committed to memory gave me great hope and joy. If ye be approached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, evil is spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. I found myself singing hallelujah because I am suffering. Jesus is glorified. Isn't that powerful? So Corey Tenboom. Now I want to turn to Matthew chapter 24. Many of you are familiar with this chapter. I want to read starting at verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. You also must be ready. I want to, in just a few minutes, invite, and there's no pressure for anyone on this, but I did approach a few people, but there will be perhaps opportunity for you, if you're stirred, and I want you to be stirred by the Holy Spirit, to share something of how you understand us to dress, part of the wardrobe of dressing for readiness. Man, I had it expanded this morning just during worship. It was expanded as to what parts of clothing. There are way more parts to this being dressed in readiness than I had listed on my sheets of paper. So we're going to talk about that, the wardrobe. How do we dress for readiness? This will not be an exhaustive discussion. We're not going to, by any means, exhaust this. And I tell you, you should expand your wardrobe just like I am. You know, I expanded it last week. Thanks to Jonathan, and we're going to just continue to expand our wardrobe and be dressed in readiness, be dressed in readiness. I want Val just to say just what you said at the end of worship, just if you remember that.
Just to recall how I worded it. I think I felt a deeper level of peace. Not that I don't have the peace of the Lord, but there's something in a measure of it that was deeper than I've ever felt before in my life this morning. It was, and it was like a protection almost. And I thought, Lord, like if there are hard times, I want this to be part of how I walk through.
Okay, that's good. So I want to just, I'm just going to do one, and then I'm going to invite some others to add to, and you might touch on some on my list, you may not, that's okay, because this wardrobe is expansive, very expansive. The first one I want to mention, and Irvin, I really appreciate your emphasis on repentance last week. Anybody that has repented, anyone that has experienced deep, deep repentance, I've often talked about a friend of mine that left his sins in a puddle, you know, at the altar, and got up just, you know, 150 pounds lighter or whatever, you know, 1,000 pounds lighter. Repentance is absolutely critical. It's a critical piece of preparedness, a critical piece of being ready, of being dressed in readiness. Repentance. The scripture says in Acts 3:19, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You know, I can't exaggerate how beautiful it is to be forgiven. How beautiful it is to be forgiven. Some of us have experienced that on a human level. It's absolutely stunning to be forgiven when you don't deserve it. It's absolutely, it overtakes us. It overwhelms us. It's beautiful. And human to human, we need to be doing that and experiencing that forgiveness, that releasing of a brother or a sister and praying, blessing and forgiving one another. But to have Jesus forgive our sins is more stunning and more beautiful. I'm a guy that remembers where I was standing. You know, often, I could tell you places and times, and you know, and I was standing there, the foyer, 35 Waller Street. I won't get into all that. The foyer at 35 Waller, just standing there. And for the first time in my life, feeling clean inside. And just, I was stunned. I was startled. I was amazed. I, what is going on here? I used to have these knots that were so tight inside, so many of them, you know. If someone in authority said, I want to talk to you, it wasn't what did I do, it's what did I get caught for, you know. And that was the way I was living. And then this overwhelming forgiveness through Jesus, through his blood. It's so amazing, so amazing. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 19. I want to read these few verses. They're really important. Starting at verse 13, some Jews went around driving out evil spirits. They tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priests, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Remember that? The enemy's asking, and heaven's asking, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear. And the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. A number of those who practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. I've got that underlined because I think there are ways. There are ways that the Lord does this thing. The ways in which the word of the Lord spread and grew in power. Now, what an awesome way for the word of God to spread and to grow in power, to have repentance, to have people confess their sins publicly, to have them bring the things that they were addicted to or tied to, and they bring them to the altar and lay them down. What a thing to cause a revival. What a thing to, it says here, in this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. When I was in Mexico, I met a man, and he had just come from Asia. I know I've told you this story, but it's so important that we be dressed in readiness because we can act immediately. We can respond immediately. There are things, if we are dressed properly, we're dressed for action. We're dressed for response. We're not asleep. We're not just coming out of a daze, but we're awake. And so the knock came on his door, and a woman stood there, a beautiful woman, and she said, I'm yours while you stay at this hotel. He ran past this woman down the three flights of stairs out onto the street, and he didn't stop for blocks running. He just ran. How many know he was dressed and ready? He knew what he was going to do. He didn't have to, stop and think about it. And the Bible says, flee from sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Now, I'm going to stop here. That's number one. I have eight parts of my wardrobe. Eight parts that I might not get to the other seven, but I'm going to promise you, you'll get to read them tomorrow. But I want to take some notes, and I want to ask if anyone that I approached this morning first, I'm going to give you the first opportunity. If there's one item of wardrobe, if there's something that you would, in this hour in which we live, the Bible says to be dressed in readiness. We want to be dressed in readiness. Oh, there's so many parts to this. And I want everybody to be thinking about this. Every single one of you. Mary, did you raise your hand? Yeah. Come on up. And then if there's others, I want you to just come sit maybe right in these. You are approached. You are approached.
I feel like, the Lord prepares us for something. So, she's talking because of... I cannot send. I forgot to grow. So, anyway. Corrie Ten Boom's message there. There was a time when she was in the concentration camp, and she remembered a verse. So the Lord just put in my head that in my mind, kind of reminded me of what He has done years ago when I was young. I became a Christian, and the Lord prepared me for that time. I was in the Philippines. I was with a group where we had to memorize verses in order to join a mission trip. So we have to memorize at least 75 verses for every time to go to the mission. To go with the mission, so we went to a mission. Anyway, years later, I was in Germany, and I worked for an Arab embassy. That's the only way. I knew that God has prepared me for that because when I was in there, I was so sure that God brought me to that place because in a dream, He even showed me that I will be there. So I was very sure that God prepared me to go there. And when you go to a place like that, everyone is Muslim. They were all Muslims. Like you cannot have your Bible. And I had to stay in because I was a private nurse for the ambassador's child. Anyway, I had to stay in, and you don't have your Bible. But because of those past memory verses and those past teachings that I had, I was able to live in that place where everyone is a Muslim. There are staunch Muslims. This is the embassy of Qatar. And I knew that the Lord has put me there because later on, they even allowed me to read my Bible. And the ambassador's wife even told me that if I wasn't the ambassador's wife, I would like to come with you to your church. Yeah.
That is so beautiful, Mary. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Age before beauty.
So I've been listening to a CD by a lady. Her last name is McCracken. Some of you may know her. And she has a CD called Patient Kingdom. And so much of it revolves around the attitudes toward our internal fears concerning life and encountering the enemy pursuing the kingdom. But the thing that has been striking me is that she says, I was afraid, but I'm not afraid of my fear. One of the things that defeats us is when we don't know what our fears are and they suddenly confront us. If we know what our fears are and we prepare to confront them, then we're ready for the situation when it happens. Remember that when the Canadian Army was in Iraq, there was a red shirt, and people wore red shirts on Friday. And it said, courage is being afraid and going anyway. Do you know what your fears are? This last little while, I've been confronting some of mine. I was with Roy Stewart yesterday, and he's 90. And he said, I'm nearly finished my course. I'm nearly finished my race. And do you know what your fears are? And this is one of the things about repentance, is that repentance takes time. I'd suggest that you take a week or maybe a month and you start a list and you begin to identify your fears, that you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. And What things are unfinished? What things have you promised and haven't performed? What relationships are broken and need to be restored? And you haven't restored them because you're afraid. Because your pride stands in the way. I don't want to admit my fault. I don't want to pursue that offended brother. I don't want to take responsibility. There's all kinds of devious ways that our hearts work. And so in this area, if you identify your fears, you'll be able to begin to identify the things that you're not doing. And I don't know if you listened to Mitch this morning, because Mitch, under the anointing of the Spirit, was prophesying, and he was saying, receive my love, receive my gifts, and use them. Did you hear that? If you were standing around, you would have heard that. Receive my gifts and use them. What are you afraid of? What is hindering you? Make that part of your repentance.
Hey, Ken, I got a red shirt on. Yeah, check it out. No. I'll just confess one of my fears. I have a fear of senility and Alzheimer's. That's one of my great fears. When my kids were little, I used to read books to them after supper. We'd sit there and I'd just read to them. And one of the books I read to them was Visions of the Harvest by Rick Joyner. Anybody read that? Just put your hand out. You read that. If you haven't read that, go chase it down. Rick was an incredibly prophetic man. And anyway, there's a lot of enlightenment in there. One of the things, as Chuck was asking about being dressed and ready for service and preparedness. One of the things Rick talked a lot about was, as we're clothed increasingly in our journey towards our ultimate sanctification, is parts of our garments of readiness become glaringly obvious to others. They become overly brilliant. Maybe you have a gift of healing, or maybe you have a gift of administration, or maybe you have a gift of giving, or whatever it is that you're doing in your preparedness. They become very evident to everybody around you, and it becomes a barrier. It becomes a problem. You can't really interact properly because of this glaring gift that you have that gets in the way. So Rick spoke a lot about a cloak of humility. And that had a very deep impact on me. I think about it a lot, a cloak of humility. And what Rick spoke of was, as you become sharpened in your abilities, as you become more astute in your spiritual giftedness, apply a gift of humility on top of that. Don't allow it to shine brilliantly such that you become arrogant, or it becomes the first thing that people see when they meet you. It gets in the way. I mean, it's a great thing. It is from heaven, but it can be a stumbling stone for true intimacy and relationship with others. So Rick spoke of putting this cloth of humility over top of it, so it wouldn't blind the people as they approached it and not be able to see other things. So just, I hope you take that one home and are blessed by that one.
Thanks, Marty. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
I see Patty pointing. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Lydia, come on up. Yeah. Yeah. You're walking. Yeah. Just come on up to the front. Yeah. And good. Okay. This, we're going
to. We're trying to close this down.
Not closing you down, are you guys? We're gonna end with these three, okay? So just because, and then we'll transition.
Yeah.
But take your time.
No, I'll take it really fast. I really love this topic so much because I've been in trouble before that I didn't let the Lord dress me for the task at hand. So I love the humility. But I still think, you know, I think we can say, how do you want to clothe me for this? And what do you want to make corrections in? And we go, what's my attitude? And it just goes on and on. But the armor of God, the linen over the armor, you know, we've talked about that. Anyway, I just feel it's such a holy thing to let him just like ask him. It's in the spirit. Just dress me for this. It's really good. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Barb.
Okay, Lydia. Okay.
We got together with a few Christian friends on a Sunday afternoon. It was just going to be tea, and let's just share what God's doing in our lives. And so I met a dear sister who's just beautiful in her faith and a real intercessor. And she gave her testimony and she said, I'm from Kazakhstan. I was a Muslim and now I'm a born again Christian. And she said, we had to go back because my father-in-law was dying. So she said, I was sitting there with my father-in-law and I said, Jesus died for you. You're not ready to die. Do you know how much he suffered so that you could have, you, there are two places, heaven and hell, and you don't want to go to hell. Jesus died so that you could go to heaven. But she said, you know what? I know that you have deep unforgiveness in your heart. So she said, you asked Jesus. So he was at the point where he couldn't speak anymore. So every time she said something and he agreed, he would squeeze her hand. So she said, do you believe that Jesus died for you? He squeezed her hand. And she said, you have to forgive from the depths of your being. Forgive everyone. So he did. He prayed. deeply in his soul, and he asked God for forgiveness and asked all those who hurt him to forgive. And so at the end, they went through this exercise, and eventually she said, "I want you to tell me in words what you're thinking now." And she said, "I'll pray that you'll be able to speak." And he said, "I love you, Jesus." And it was a real lesson to us. Forgiveness is so, so important. We have to be ready to forgive no matter what, no matter how deeply it hurts. Forgiveness is a really very important in our walk with Christ.
So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Lydia. Yeah, give her a round of applause.
During worship today, the Lord gave me a scripture, and I just want to read it. The most amazing song of all by King Solomon. So Song of Solomon's verse 1-4. Let him smother me with his kisses, his spirit kiss divine. So kind are your caresses, I drink them in like the sweetest wine. Your presence releases a fragrance so pleasing, over and over poured out. For your lovely name is flowing oil. No wonder the brides-to-be adore you. Draw me into your heart. We will run away together into the king's cloud-filled chamber. We will remember your love, rejoicing and delighting in you, celebrating your every kiss as better than wine. No wonder righteousness adores you. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, and when you look at the footnotes for the word kisses, I'm going to read it. There is a word play in the Hebrew similar to a pun. The word for kisses and the word for take a drink, wine, is nearly the same. The implication is seen by ancient expositors is that God's lovers will be drunk with love, the intoxicating kisses of his mouth. The Hebrew word for kiss is neshak, which can also mean to equip or to arm for battle. We need his kisses to become equipped warriors for him. So when we go into the intimate chamber with the Lord, we are not just spending time fueling ourselves. We're receiving the presence of God. That intimacy fuels us. His love drowns out the sound of the atmosphere that is around us. The chaos is quieted because we know how to be in the stillness of the Lord. And the stillness of the Lord deafens the sound of the enemy's voice. And so we put on the Spirit of Jesus every day, our armor of God, our mind of Christ. That's our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness. He is our righteousness. Our righteousness is dirty rags before him. We are equipped in front of our enemy, the breastplate of his righteousness covering our hearts. He is our belt of truth surrounding us. We are not led by our emotions. We are led by who the truth is, not the facts that we see with our eyes, but we have the faith and the substance of the things of this world that are unseen, Jesus Christ. We put on our shoes of peace. He is our Prince of Peace. This world knows no peace except for Jesus, our Prince of Peace. He is our shield. He goes before us into every battle. Every day we step out of our home, we walk out in him. Oh my, and then the sword of the Spirit, that's where we fight. He is our, that's our only defensive weapon, the word of God. Let us be equipped in his intimacy. Let us go forth in his power, fueled by the Holy Ghost. It said when they were filled on the day of Pentecost, they were empowered to go forth. So we will not shrink back. We'll step forward into his presence, into his intimacy. We will worship him. Our eyes are locked on him. And as we're locked on him, that is where we will know who we are, because we declare the promises of God over our life, because we are who he says we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bruce, were you going to share something?
I had a tough evening last night, and I didn't get much sleep because my body was in pain. And I was thinking about how Christ died for me and how the pain he went through and how my pain means absolutely nothing. So what did I look on the computer was when Microsoft has these things that come up and pop up. was the five ways most painful to die. Okay? And I want to share with you that number one is crucifixion. And it's not just in his day, but he died because the most painful way humans can ever arrive so that I could be saved. And the pain that I have to go through is meaningless. So I want to clothe myself with the righteous knowledge that he died and I am redeemed. And thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, more, 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 Lord.